Blog Talk Radio.
And good morning, everybody, and welcome to Chalk Talk. I am your host, Kim Davis. I am so excited that you are with me this morning. Welcome. It's Thursday, and you know what's happening today? Today is the first day of the American League Divisional Series, and I'm pretty excited because as soon as I just put this podcast, we'll be heading over to Minute Maid Park in order to be able to tell you guys about the Astros. The Astros playing host to the Boston Red Sox. It's going to be a great, great one. And we have a lot to talk about on today's show. And yes, we are going to talk about some baseball. I'm excited that one of my dear friends and colleagues is going to join us today. Dan Fravor, I don't know if he knows that, but that's why I'm always inviting him to come back, because you guys always ask me for him. So David Steele of the Sporting News is joining us today, and we have so much to get to, so we can bring him in just a moment. Astros are playing the first pitch 3-0, and then this boot, I've got to get there early, so I may jump out of the show a few minutes early today if I can try to get there and get in the stadium. The Astros are throwing Justin Verlander against Chris Gayle tonight. Or this afternoon. So it should be a fun series, but man, there is so much to get to. So you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and go and bring in David now. David Steele, who obviously has been really, really busy because, you know, he's on the East Coast. He's a sporting news guy, and he also is all things football. He's also all things everything else too. So David Steele, welcome. Thank you for being a part of today's show. What is happening right now, before I even get into what I want to talk to you about, what is the biggest story? I'm not sure why a picture is on the screen, because that's not what I'm doing, but what is the biggest story in that you're covering at this point? A few technical difficulties. There we go. Now you're back. Oh, wait a minute. Go ahead. All right. Now you're back. You're on.
Well, you were just asking what's the biggest thing that covers writing about, and it's something that the NFL never sees that game going on. Our good friend Newton down in Charlotte, and I'll put it here and I'm going to talk about this because we go way back a long time. He was incredibly insulting to the beat writer, Panther beat writer, for the Charlotte Observer during the press conference yesterday, and saying, I think I'm quoting correctly, but it's always funny to me to see male asking about
Bruce. Yeah. I think what he said was, it's funny to hear a female, and he chuckled and had this look on his face, kind of shout out, because she asked him a question about a particular play. And I heard the question, and it, you know, was a fair question. It was a good, solid question, and that's pretty good. That's pretty good. David, all those things that you mentioned about Cam Newton, we're talking about Cam Newton, who many of us have really enjoyed watching him play. And a couple years ago when he had that run to the Super Bowl, it was just exciting watching him and reporting him. And when people were taking attacks, and we felt people taking attacks, but making attacks at Cam, we stood up for him. And then he went to the Super Bowl, laid an egg, and then he was a big child in the postseason conference. he handled it poorly. And that's okay. Well, you kind of want to not make excuses for them, but you want to give them that one. Okay, that was a bad move, a bad decision. But that happens, right? The heat of the moment, he'd never been there before. But we've seen it again. You know, he makes comments. And so for him yesterday, last night after the game, when a female reporter asked him a question about a particular play, and he does this laughing, ha-ha, condescending, it's just funny to hear a female laugh about routes, really, because it wasn't that long ago when you had to deal with people saying, it's just odd to think of a black quarterback being able to handle an NFL offense. I mean, in the big picture of things, even beyond the kind of a ridiculous, because black quarterbacks never thought of being as very cerebral. They were athletic, and you know, but they could run, they could jump, but could they really handle an offense? Could they really communicate with everybody on the team? Could they be the face of the team? And arguably, Cam Newton is the face of the Carolina Panthers. And for him to come out and make that comment and not even be contrite and apologize for it, which really, if he doesn't really believe it, you know, don't apologize. I'm sick of all the fake apologies from people. If you don't mean it, if you just think women shouldn't ask about routes, if that's who you are, be that guy and just stick with it. Because fake, you know, the man that makes you apologize, it doesn't mean anything, and I would rather keep it. I hope that the contrary is true. He can learn from it, and maybe he can really realize how ridiculous that was. But it was very disappointing for me. And, you know, how good can the NFC, you know, I talk about this foolishness. That's what it is to me, foolishness.
Yeah,
well, let me say this. He was, and here's the other thing. You talk about the NFL, and the NFL seems to continue to get it its own way. And part of it is because of the arrogance of leadership in the NFL. That's what I see it as. We go back to, I mean, many, many years, but in recent years, how they've handled events from the Ray Rice situation and how the commissioner came out and had this public press conference, which is a perfect paper for everything not to do. If he was a media training client, he'd be a poster child for how to have a press conference and handle a crisis, right? It was awful. But that is not because he's not articulate, not because, you know, they don't have people around them, but they don't have the right people around them. There is this arrogance of, we are the NFL, and we can do whatever we want. I sit did more and more. I sit, you know, in the market where I am. I mean, I cover the league, but obviously the team I cover day in, day out, the Texans. And I cover the Rocks, and I cover the Astros, and I cover Texas Southern and Purdue and Texas A&M, right? But the Houston Texans as an organization, I mean, the players are good people, and some of the coaches seem to be pretty. The whole thing about you being the customer, and of course, in many instances, the media is the enemy, and that I think is the tone that's just been generated kind of across our nation right now. But listen, just be glad that you in, and don't have any issues and ask a whole bunch of questions and come in and just celebrate with us. If you can't, you can go someplace else. I see that a lot, and it that's what I think it stems from, because everything trickles from the top down. And so if at the top of the league there is not a sense of our customers matter to us, the media matters, because the media stories need to bring you and all of your people to the masses. Let's just be clear about it. You know, it doesn't happen without those partnerships. And they're all necessary for them to continue to build their brand. I think the NFL has lost that customer service piece, because it is the big show in town, and they have these huge TV contracts. And so they have that we can do more. We don't care what you fans say about Colin Kaepernick, and those of you who say you're protesting or boycotting. Not protesting, boycotting. People are taking DirecTV up on this offer to buy back, to be able to get out of their contracts. Although, let's see, the people protesting the anthem, they certainly can't be the people boycotting because of Colin Kaepernick. it is that sense of arrogance and entitlement of, you know, we're supposed to be in your living room every Sunday, every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night that I think can ultimately get the league in trouble. And then when it goes down to a guy like Cam Newton, who's the person pulling their coattail saying, this is not okay. You need such a thing. All of these things are important for our league. Where does that happen? I mean, you cover the entire league. Who's doing it the best? Because I think it's really missing. I know it's missing here in this market.
Be appreciative of rather than looking at it as, hey, you and me were part of the party there. That we understand and respect job as you.
Right. 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 Well, you know what, David? I think one of the things too about that is because now with the NFL, right? They do their own content, which is good. But you also need content outside of that because that is very organization centered and focused, right? They can't really ever criticize or call out plays and players, and not in a game we're attacking you personally way, but they work with the organization, and that's their machine, and that and it's a part of their brand. That's why it's necessary to have voices and other outlets, you know, telling these stories. And so I think because they say, hey, you know what, we got own, Texans TV or Ravens Radio or whoever. Every team has it. It's not exclusive to one team. Every team has it. So we will definitely do those interviews, and we'll be accommodated to those outlets, but we don't really have to do much for anybody else. Well, of course you're going to be accommodating to those because you guys all work for the same organization. It's really gotten way out of whack, and that's unfortunate. But I want to talk about NFL story this week, a young guy who I watched in college and have only, covered him since he's been in the National Football League because he was in Clemson, obviously, that's Deshaun Watson. And one of the things that we said about Deshaun Watson when we saw him being talked about in the draft and whether or not he was, NFL quarterback or whether his game could translate to the league and about all of his weaknesses and his areas of concern, like he needed to work on his accuracy, and this goes on and on and on, right? So Deshaun Watson, the things that we did know is he's a good character guy. He graduated, he got a degree early in December, rather, and he was there this morning. He's a winner. Like, he handles adversity. He keeps his cool. He gets it. Now, I'm not saying that he's perfect because he's human and he likely makes some mistakes. I don't think he will make some really ridiculous mistakes like we've seen some players make. But, I mean, I think he's got a really good foundation. This is a kid, a young man who gave his first game check to three women who work in a cafeteria for the Texans because they lost everything flood, right? The fund, I think starting funds and generating all that revenue is really great. That's what J.J. Watt did. But he said, here's my game check. And I'm going to split it between these three because you give me a lot. I would appreciate what you do for us. And I hope this helps. That goes to the core of who he is. He goes back and helps with Habitat for Humanity because his family was given a home, he and his mom, by work done. He gets it, he appreciates it. And what we see is he's also that guy on the field. They keep saying, and it's kind of funny, but it's almost like every week Bill O'Brien said he's such a good student, he's really smart, he studies the playbook. Because that's not really what we think of as, you know, quarterbacks. They're athletic. They go with their legs first. But to a man who's covered this quarterback, they all say the same thing. He studies the playbook. He's really smart. He's probably not going to make the same mistake twice. On the plane, looking at plays. He's trying to see what he did. He is a sponge for learning. You know, he's a good teammate, but he's a leader. And the guys on the field respond to this rookie quarterback. And I don't know if, you know, I don't think they'll put up 57 points every week. You know, they put 57 points against the Titans. That was huge. But I saw how he handled it with Patriots. Now, the Patriots clearly aren't the Patriots that we've seen in recent years, but they are still the Patriots, and he still had to go into Foxborough and let them. I am excited about Deshaun Watson and what I've seen from him and how good he is to this point. And probably how good he could be. Especially, let me say this, if Texans go ahead and sign Dwayne Brown, I think that'll help him a lot. I'm just saying. Did you just say acuity? Did you just use mental acuity? Yes. David_Steele, or is there a C in there? David_C_Steele. In case, if you didn't know, let me give you Deshaun Watson's line from last Sunday. He completed 25 of 34 passes for 283 yards. He was sacked once. He threw four touchdowns, and he had one interception. He had a 125 passer rating. He rushed four times for 24 yards and one touchdown. So he was responsible for five touchdowns on Sunday. It was quite impressive performance. And here's the thing. On the other side of the field, I'm going to say this, and then we're going to jump and talk about kind of an update on the protest and talk about some baseball. But on the other side of the field, on that Tennessee Titans sideline, Dick LeBeau was the defensive coordinator, who I think people around the league just have a tremendous amount of respect for. And it just seemed that they weren't able to do anything to really combat what Deshaun Watson, the challenges that he presents for a defense. And perhaps that's because he can hurt you with his legs, but he doesn't look to run first. I mean, he's a quarterback that throws the ball, but he can also move around. They rolled him out. And I thought this was interesting, David. They talked, you know, you saw him run the option a little bit. And Bill O'Brien said, you know, they had to kind of learn that. That was something that Deshaun Watson brought from Clemson. So although I have criticized Bill O'Brien in the past for not really making adjustments for a tailoring offense or tapering it to fit the quarterback he has, I think he's done a pretty good job with Deshaun and making the offense fit his skill set is. And the fact that, you know, you let him teach you a couple plays to add to your arsenal, I think he's wrong. But also, Bill O'Brien is in a contract there. He wants to win. And that probably helps you in terms of being a little more flexible in your approach to this game.
Yeah, it took too long for him to do that. He neglected that for a long time. He thought that his way of doing it was the smarter way of developing quarterbacks, than just taking one early on, like most coaches would do. It's like first chance you get to franchise quarterback in the draft, go out and get him. Don't wait around and play this, you know, hey, Tom Savage is a steal of the round kind of game. Don't do that anymore. Take the guy that you know you can work with and you can be his very first NFL tutor. Take his skills, you know, show what a genius you are, and, you know, build a system around him. That works way more often than it doesn't in the NFL. And I, you know, I'm a guy who doesn't think Bill O'Brien deserved all the credit that he got over the years with the Texans, but he deserves credit for doing it now. Yeah, I know three games is still a small sample size, but I like the fact that he's done that and sticks with it. I hope that he continues to develop Deshaun the way his quarterback for forever, basically. He's probably saving his job.
Yeah, he's probably saving his job. Sporting news. Okay, David, so I want to talk a little bit about baseball. Okay, the Houston Astros will host the Boston Red Sox tonight this afternoon at May Park in just a few hours, as a matter of fact. 3:08 is the first pitch. Justin Verlander, which was a late-season pickup for Houston Astros, a pretty big pickup for the Astros. Talk about really giving your starting rotation a boost. And he will take the mound. He will start in game one. I think it's going to be a great game one matchup because on the other side, it's going to be Chris Sale. Justin Verlander is 15-8 with a 3.36 ERA. And since he's been with the Astros, he has won all five of his starts while posting a 1.06 ERA since coming to the Astros from the Tigers. So, and here's the thing. Since the All-Star break, he's been on a tear. He's 10-2 the break. And it's an exciting pitcher to watch. On the other side for the Red Sox, Chris Sale led the majors with 308 strikeouts while going 17-8 with a 2.90 ERA. But his second half durability has really been kind of a question. So, you know, the Astros also have Dallas Keuchel. They have Brad Peacock and presumably Charlie Morton in terms of starting pitching. So I give the Astros the edge in terms of the starting pitching. What do you think about this series? I'm excited to get to Minute Maid and see what they do.
Yeah,
I like this series a lot. I'm very excited about it. And this game won that what everybody didn't know. This is why the Astros had to go get a guy like Verlander, because you've got to have a guy like that when you go up against the number one guy, the aces on every other effort, certainly in the rest of the way in the American League. And now they can match up with the rest of them. You know, I believe in Verlander. I think he's back to where he's been. He's back to what we're all used to seeing from him. I never really felt that it completely go away. I think that, you know, the Tigers were the Tigers. That's they just reached where they were, and they had to do what they had to do. And Verlander was kind of being dragged down by all of that. Clearly, Houston has been very good to him. I think that for me, I think that's all the Astros needed was a number one guy like that, because they have everything else. I like them to their, like you said, to their rotation and their offense. I mean, what can you possibly say about them? I mean, I don't think the Red Sox had enough to slow down that Astros offense enough to win this series. I think it's going to be, you know, a long series, but I don't see the Red Sox winning it. Don't have the edge on that. They can't stop the Astros offense. A guy like Verlander. So you guys in Houston should feel pretty good about how the series is going to go. Which is saying a lot to play the Red Sox, but I would feel very, very good about what the Astros have to look forward to in this round.
So you make a great point, David. You talked. And so this Astros team in 2015, which got the postseason, got won the wild card, got to the ALDS, lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, there was some pitching, you know, that especially relief pitching that really kind of haunted them. But you also had a young Carlos Correa. And, you know, now you've got a Carlos Correa who's not in his first season, who is a really, you know, he's really grown and matured in the position. Jose Altuve, who's still there, who back then was just, you know, he was a great guy on the team that was, you know, that was supposed to be getting better, but now people expect more. They brought back Carlos Beltran, so they've got some veteran leadership. You know, you've got it in the clubhouse, and so you've got George Springer. These guys are not rookies anymore. This is not their first time in postseason, and then you have the leadership of like a Justin Verlander to go along with guys like a Keuchel, and you have to this roster. So it's exciting. You know, the relief pitching, you might think that okay, I give that edge to the Red Sox, but you know, there's so much else, especially in terms of offense and the meets order. They've got guys who can just swing the bat. So I think it's going to be an exciting series. It's the best 3 out of 5. The Astros have home field advantage. Game 1 and 2 with a day tomorrow, and they go to Boston to play the next 2, if necessary. And then if there's a game 5, it would be here back here next Wednesday, October 11th, which is also my sister's birthday. So, you know, if it goes to 5, it would be quite a series. You know, I want to get back to the NFL for a minute, because you and I have spoken publicly, actually, you know, like on the show, whole unity and we're locking arms. I don't know what all that is. It's really some unifying stuff that the owners came up with, and it's really them against Donald Trump. I'm so over that, because that's not really what this conversation, that's not at all what Colin Kaepernick started talking about. And so I've had people call and say, well, why isn't Colin Kaepernick saying anything? He should be speaking and be a part of the narrative. And I kind of, sometimes I'm like, yeah, he should say something now about what his message, what his point was, but he started the conversation, right? He started the conversation, and I think it's for all of us to continue with. We know what it's about. We have to be careful not to let anything or anyone else, even including the president, hijack the core message of Colin Kaepernick's protest, what it started from. You know, and there's a story, David, that's not told a whole lot of when Colin first started this protest, and a Navy SEAL who was there on the sideline with the 49ers went to him and said, talk to him, and said, sitting down would be a sign of disrespect to, I guess, you know, the military. But if you said me, because taking a knee has always been kind of a different, that would be a position to take for what it is you're trying to do. And so to turn it into, you know, he's protest, people don't like the anthem. And for everybody who said it's about the anthem, I want you guys to go online and Google the lyrics of the anthem, and I want you to look at the second and third stanzas. Okay, I want you to read the whole anthem before you start talking to me about, you know, what the anthem means. That's what the anthem means to you. Because what the anthem says in its entirety, when Francis Scott Key wrote it, it was not me, it's David and Colin, and for many people who are boycotting. It was not something that included. Am I gonna let Cap play? And when I looked at the list of the people I saw feeding, I felt like there were some people who were missing. The conversation has started. It's a good thing. The key is to not let the conversation end and to keep it about what it's supposed to be about.
To be the number one priority of the players who want to bring attention to their cause. They cannot let others dilute it. They cannot let others shift it or change it or deflect from it or bury it or to allow it to be silenced and replaced by something else. And they're just an example after example all throughout the league. And we saw a pretty ugly one here in Baltimore last weekend when the team, including the players and the team itself, the organization, reached one of those compromises. It was another quote unquote unity compromise. Very similar to what Arizona Cowboys did a week before. They knelt before the anthem, had a very clear distinction about we're not kneeling during the anthem. And we're kneeling on the head of unity and the vague notion of unity, which doesn't really address anything that Colin Kaepernick talked about. And we're going to stand with for the entire stadium. And as soon as that role players linked arms and fell to one knee, the entire stadium started booing. And ever since then, a lot of people who have been against the players and who are supporting people getting abuses and have tried to justify what they said. And it all dances around the fact that they pretty much expose that it's not the anthem that they're angry about. It's not the disrespect for the flag or the song or the military that they're bothered by. So if that's whatever conversation the players are having with the league and with their individual teams, then we're all just spinning our wheels. And as you mentioned, if Colin Kaepernick and his continued banishment, the league, is not part of the conversation, we're all wasting our time, because the number one thing that's looming over this entire situation is that an NFL player, at the time, an active NFL player, expressed himself in a non-aggressive, silent, in such a non-disruptive manner during games last year, and now he's out of the league. I mean, he was pushing himself. And if the teams in the league are not willing to either explain themselves or correct the situation or assure players that that is not the kind of business they run, then all this conversation, all these meetings, all these compromises, all the linking of arms are going to go.
So it's the name, Brandon Wheaton. Got a job. I mean, he got a job. They could have hired me, you know, kidding me that Brandon Wheaton is in the league. So it's not about football. I have people sometimes post things on my timeline that want to try to give me stats, and you can kind of make that sound the way you want, I guess. But there's nothing, you can't tell me that Colin Kaepernick is not enough to be in the league. He's better than some starting quarterbacks, and he's better than a whole lot of backups. So it's not about his ability. And I really don't think people are mad because they felt like he was protesting the anthem. And you know what? Let me say this. You know, there are organization and hijacked it. Let's be it. We made about something all together, you know. The players are SOBs, but the neo-Nazis are some good people. I can't quite really wrap my mind around that, right? You know, a number of other things he should be worried about and taking care of, which he is not doing, like Puerto Rico. And let me also say the U.S. Virgin Islands. I just feel a need to say the U.S. Virgin Islands, because while I am disturbed by the images from Puerto Rico and the fact that Puerto Rico has not gotten, you know, the kind of attention and support from the government that it should, I'm also concerned that the U.S. Virgin Islands was not hit by two storms as well. And so I just, whenever I get the chance to talk to people, I just have to bring the U.S. Virgin Islands. I'm sure to ask if Kaepernick is getting any kind of salary from his previous contract. And I don't think he is, because his contract, it was an option for an extension, but they're not going to pick it up. So for people who say he opted out, the 49ers had made it so we're not going to sign him. So the answer is, the question is let no, he's not being compensated from any previous contract. So yeah, he is not getting paid. And he is, last week, his name came up again, of course, when the L.A. Raiders, unfortunately, when Derek Carr went out with a back injury, they could be 2 to 6 weeks. You know, do you think about bringing in a Colin Kaepernick then? You know, his name comes often, not by teams, by some of us in the media, but, there's nothing. Then there are folks that say, well, Colin wants $10 million. Clearly, he's not trying to get $10 million. You know, guys that don't have jobs are not trying to get $10 million. He's not a moron. You know, and here's the other thing, David. You know, Colin Kaepernick hasn't done everything right along the way. And, you know, with the socks that he wore at the time and the T-shirt about Castro and, you know, bragging about not voting. Those weren't great choices that he made. But it's not, though, that should negate the really good stuff he's done. He has done a lot of good work. He is not an actor. He's not a criminal. You know, he has put his money where his mouth is in terms of organization and causes that he is going to, that he has been supporting. And so I give him credit for that. I don't just focus on some things that he could have done better. Maybe he learned from that. Maybe that's why he's not really saying much. He feels like I said what I need to say, and I don't really want to make it seem to be about me. And I don't know, did Kurt Flood continue to talk after he started, when he started with, in terms of paving the way for free agency? I don't know if you need to continue to speak. We all have our way of handling things, and so I just don't want us to get distracted by some things that maybe he could have done differently. Okay, there are things I could have done differently, whether it's a broadcast or previous broadcast or in a career. It doesn't negate my credibility for what I do. And I encourage people to just keep those things in mind when you have conversations or other people have conversations about Kaepernick. David, let me ask you this. It is also, this is like my favorite time of year, right? You got the NFL season going on. We're postseason with baseball. And now NBA games are happening. You have preseason basketball. Let me ask you, which team do you think made the most improvement in the offseason? Which team added the best major?
Sound like a total homer for your audience if I said the Rockets.
We'll take it.
I'm not kissing up to you or the crowd or anything like that. I'm just being honest. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how far the Rockets can go with Chris Paul and to what they've to what they're doing. And as I said, you know, it's been a great off season for the league, just in terms of teams refusing to buy into the idea that nobody's ever going to catch the Warriors. Nobody's ever going to catch the Cavaliers. That it's always to go to. Now, having said that, I think that's who it's going to be at the end. But they're not going to stroll through it the way they did, the way they strolled through the playoffs last year. Now, I think the Thunder you know, they took a by making the move to get Carmelo. I mean, obviously I think they kind of stole him. Actually, I think they kind of stole Paul George. But the Thunder is going to be real interesting seeing how they can all these get and make it work. You know, the Celtics doing what they did to directly challenge the Cavs in the East. You know, the Wizards didn't add a lot of pieces, but they kept on together and said, we're going to do this internally and see if we can push through beyond where we did last year. I mean, I think that the top of the conferences all got deeper. They all got way more competitive. And the path for Golden State and for the Houston Rockets, there's any question about that.
Well, you know what? It's interesting because the conversation is often about whether or not the Rockets were going to acquire Noah. Houston is one of the places he made it clear he would waive his trade clause for. And he they couldn't get it done, right? They couldn't get it done. And so Carmelo went to Oklahoma City. Paul George is in Oklahoma City. And so there was something, man, how much better would the Rockets be with a Carmelo Anthony? And you always want more weapons. You always want more weapons. But I like him. I like guys from them. I like Luke as on the defensive player. CJ Frank is kind of off-the-bench guy defensively for them. Capella continues to grow. You've still got Trevor Ariza. And the Chris Paul and James Harden combination, we don't quite know how it's going to work yet, but I think it's going to be amazing. They are going to be an offensive, I heard, what's the word, juggernaut? I mean, it's going to be difficult to defend them and the ability to have that leadership. I think that it is timing. I think that James Harden perhaps is continuing to mature and grow. That's my hope for him. We know he is an amazing basketball player in terms of an offensive player, in terms of what he can do one-on-one, in terms of creating his own shot. I mean, he's all of those things, right? So what can he do? You know, will he be good defensively? Will he? And the Rockets are trying to make him be a defensive standout. They just want him to play some defense. But I think the things that Chris Paul bring to the team, I saw PJ again see the other night. I mean, it's preseason basketball, but look, in a week we'll be in a regular season. I mean, it's we're not far from NBA regular season basketball. In fact, the Rockets have a game tonight as well. But tons of sports in this town. It's the Shanghai Shanghai, so I'm probably not going to leave baseball and go there. However, I tend to think this Rockets team is better than C is a team that has some pieces, has a lot of pieces, and I'm excited about seeing what they look like along the way. And then ultimately, it comes down to, you know, what happens in postseason. You know, it's building to postseason. And the Warriors, until the Warriors are unseated, Warriors remain the team to beat in the NBA. So they are the standard. The Warriors, you know, the standard, and then there's everybody else. And so I'm excited about what's going to happen or what could happen this basketball season. Anything stand out in your mind that you want to talk about before we head out? Because it is all time for me to make my way to Minute Maid Park.
I will say it's funny because I'm better at this. I still, when I hear Astros, I still think National League, and that's sort of my habitual thing. And I start thinking, well, yeah, who do the Astros play this round? And I know the Nationals going to, you know, cross with that. And then I'm like, oh, of course, no, not. But I just want to say, where I am, where I'm from, you know, the Nationals and the Cubs play tomorrow night in D.C. In the first round, you know, I cannot wait for the series to start. There's so much riding on it for both those teams. You know, the Cubs obviously trying to defend after everything that happened last year, then breaking the long drought, and the Nationals trying to get over the hump. I mean, it has been devastating, really, for this team to build up to get to the point that they have been at these 5 years, and to always fall short, to always trip over themselves one way or the other, and to realize they haven't even won won a Plus Series yet. Fans also remember that they're managed by Dusty Baker, and for me, having covered him for so long during his years with the Giants, when I was working out at the Chronicle, to see him succeed in D.C. with the Nationals and possibly be the guy that takes them to the next level where they're close to game. If they were to pull that out, I think that would be a tremendous story on multiple levels for a lot of different people. So I think my final word on all this is that, this is the absolute best time of year for baseball, and I cannot wait for all this to start. And I'm going to be watching this afternoon when the Astros play, and I'm probably going to be glued to the TV nonstop for the next week. So I can't wait.
All right, David, see you as always, my friend. I'm going to catch up again soon about the podcast as well. And pretty soon I'm going to have to start paying you. But anyway, maybe I'll just bake something and send it up your way. Enjoy baseball day. All right, you're like, okay. Enjoy baseball day. And for all of you who have been watching, thank you for being up at Chalk Talk. Make sure you follow me online. Follow me on Twitter at Kim Y. Davis. Follow me on Instagram. I'll be at the baseball game. I'll be posting throughout the day. And day for the weekend, of course, the Texans will play host to the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday night. That should be a pretty exciting matchup. We will see what Deshaun Watson can do with the Chiefs defense. I think it will clearly be the best defense he has faced thus far. But listen, there's a lot to be excited about, but thank you for being a part of the show, and I will see you soon. I appreciate you, my friend. David Steele, the NFL writer, got him on tape, too, for the the NFL writer for the Sporting News, and so he has a wealth of theory, and I always appreciate him being part of the show. And for all of you who've been watching, hey, thanks for being here this week. Make sure you share the video if you are watching it online. If you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, share this with your friends and family, and stay tuned for a podcast launching, a Chalk Talk podcast that will have one or two shows a week. So thank you for that. I will see you guys online from Minute Maid Park later today. Have a good day, everybody. Thanks for being here, and have a great, great week.